You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, Ross on Wye. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
So one of the things that God has got us involved with out in Africa is preaching or teaching. I mean, they've got plenty of preachers. They don't need more preachers, but they do need teachers. That has been a tremendous door that God has opened for us. And it was maybe not something that we looked for, but it came our way. And so we just thank God for that. And sort of coming back here, I also seek God. Okay, God, I want words for being back in the UK so that we can bless the people here, our family and friends in the family of God. And God gave me a couple of verses out of 2 Peter. The first one is in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It's the whole section that goes through to the end of verse 11, but I'm just going to start by reading verses 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his very precious promises and great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. His divine power has given you and me everything we need for life and godliness. Just let that sink in a minute. Everything we need for life and godliness, God has given to us by his divine power. That same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead, that same power lives in us. That same power is at work in us. We don't have to go hunting for it, as it were. God has given us his divine power. Creation speaks of his divine power. We see all the amazing variety of trees and flowers and mountains and people. His incredible creation speaks of God's divine power, and it reveals God's invisible qualities, his amazing creativity that we see in all of creation. Okay, thank you, Eniko. It's a good job we're family, isn't it? Yeah. And it says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about the fact that although we're human, we don't do things in the way that human beings normally do. We do things with God's weapons, with God's ways, and God's weapons have divine power. We don't have to rely on our own power because God has given us his divine power that is at work in us. And he's given us life. You know, it tells in Romans that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He has given to us eternal life. And it says in John 17 that eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus. Simple. Simple. Knowing God, knowing Jesus, we have eternal life because our God is such a good God. And it says in John 10:10 that the enemy comes to steal, to kill and destroy. He tried to kill and steal and destroy this morning. My stomach was very upset, but I got prayer and praise God. I am okay because God has come that we might have life in all its abundance, all its abundance, the fullness of life, nothing lacking at all. God has got everything ready for us because he loves us so much. And we can look to him and experience his goodness and his kindness towards us, that kindness that drew us into repentance that drew us into knowing him, that drew us into giving our lives to him, not because of our goodness, not because of my righteousness, but because of his goodness and his glory and his wonderful love for us. His divine power. It's his divine power that has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And he calls us to walk in a manner which is worthy of our calling. Because Jesus loves us so much, because he's given us so much, he wants us to respond. He wants us to say, yes, this is what God has done for me. I want to show him. I want to worship him. I want to lift up my arms. I want to dance. All the things that demonstrate our love and glory of what God has done for us. And the other verse he gave me was in 2 Peter chapter. And the section starts at verse 3, where it talks about people coming and scoffing, because Jesus said he was going to come back, but where is he? We've not seen him. When's he coming? We don't know. It doesn't sound like a very satisfactory answer. And so in the promise that Jesus gave that he would come back, there is no real evidence to people. They can't see it. So they think, well, what is this God that he's promised this, but we can't see it. But I think somebody said earlier, you know, to God, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. So time is quite different for God. It's not like our timing. And so we just have to wait to see what he's going to do. And it says in verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, not wishing that anyone should perish. That's why God's holding off. That's why Jesus hasn't come back yet, because he wants no one to perish. He wants to give everyone the opportunity to come to him. And then it says in verse 11, since all these things are going to be dissolved, since all these promises are going to come to pass, what sort of people ought we to be in living our lives in holiness and godliness? God is calling us to be a people who are godly and holy. He wants us to live our lives like Jesus. He wants us to be full of his glory and goodness. And it's not something that we think, well, how on earth am I going to do that? Because we know that by his divine power that is at work in us, we have got everything we need for life and godliness. We don't need to panic. We don't need to think, oh, this is awful. I can't do this. I'm no good. I'm not well enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not bright enough. I'm not clever enough. But in God's eyes, he has chosen you. And he's given you everything you need for life and godliness. And he's given us these promises, these very great and precious promises, you know, that we will be well, that he will come back again, that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Abraham said that God's promises were certain. Joshua said that God's promises never failed. They all came about. We should know that God's promises are true. You know, in Corinthians, it says they are yes and amen, every promise that God has made. And the words in that song, you know, about things that are true. We can trust the Bible. We know that what it says in there is true. It is there for our benefit. And we have these promises to help us see where God is taking us, to look to him. And he gives us the promise of eternal life. And when we come to him, we become a new creation. You know, the old has gone and the new has come. We are now full of God's divine power. We can walk in his divine power. It's not down to us and in our own strength. We can trust in him working in us. And we just are so grateful to God. You know, we put off the old self. We put on the new. You know, we have a part to play. God has done his bit, and we have a part to play. But if we step towards him, he will, you know, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. God loves us so much. He wants us to experience all his goodness, all his greatness, everything he's got for us. He tells us over and over again how much he loves us. He wants to lavish his love upon us. Oh, gosh, that we should be so loved. You know, with all our imperfections, all the things that we get wrong. Oh, and yet God, in his great mercy, loves us so much. And he says, you know, that we should walk in all the things that he's got for us. You know, whatever is honorable, whatever is true, whatever is good, those are the things that we should walk in. Those are the things that we should look for, to encourage each other, to praise each other, to praise God. You know, all that wonderful poem that James read out. You know, what joy we get when we praise God. You know, what wonderful feelings of peace and joy we get when we lift up our hands and we lift up our voices and we praise God. You know, even in the little tiny things, you know, something happens in the day, a little tiny thing. You praise God, you say thank you. You immediately acknowledge that God is at work in every part of your life, through every part of the day, because he loves you. And he wants us to live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. You know, in the earthly people, they do things according to the flesh. But the people of the Spirit walk by the Spirit of God. And God has given us his Spirit. He's poured it out into our lives because he loves us so much and he wants us to succeed. You know, the angels are all up there rooting for you. You know, they're saying, come on, come on, come on. This is such fun. You know, and he just wants us to party with him. Heaven is one big party. You know, it's going to be great when we get there, but we've got work to do while we're here. And don't let us forget what we're doing here. And that he has given us the fruit of the Spirit. He has given us help to see what we can do. He has given us love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. He's given us that by the Spirit of God that dwells within us, because he loves us, and by his divine power, he has given you and me everything we need for life and godliness. Everything. There's nothing you can say where God hasn't accounted it to you. He is there rooting for you. He loves you. He loves me. He wants us to be his children. He wants us just to come to him and allow him to pour his divine nature into our hearts. Amazing, isn't it? That God would want his divine nature in each of us. But that is the truth. You walk in the divine power of God every day if you will allow him to take that in you. It goes on then. This is back into 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, for this very reason, the reason that we have become partakers of the divine nature, it says, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. He takes us on a journey from faith to love. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We have to have faith in order that we believe that he is who he says he is. And faith is the confidence of things not seen. You know, our hope isn't in the stuff that we see. Our hope is in the invisible, what we don't see. But we know we can trust our God. It is our foundational building block. We start by faith. But that faith is what God has given us. It's not of our own doing. He has given us the faith to be able to do that. You know, we are righteous in God's eyes through faith in Jesus. You know, not through our own goodness. You know, we can't stand before God and say, oh, I'm a pathetic little weed. I can't do anything. You know, because God doesn't see you like that. He sees you as a beautiful flower. He sees you as his wonderful creation. He loves you. He wants you to know just how much he cares for you. And we live in that, you know, the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, although we love eating and drinking. But the kingdom of God is about love, joy, peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's what it's about. That's what God wants. That's what he wants us to walk in his peace and in his joy and in his righteousness. So when he looks at you, he sees the beauty of Jesus. You know, he doesn't see our spots and our wrinkles. He sees the beauty of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Because of his love for us. And as we gain knowledge of who God is, as we gain knowledge of what the Bible tells us about him, you know, it tells us that if we know the truth will set us free. And it is so good to know the truth of what the Bible says so that we can walk in freedom. Too many Christians walk with great big bags on their backs, holding them down, because they do not know the truth of the Word of God. You know, we find a lot in Uganda that they don't understand the truth of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand the freedom that the Holy Spirit gives us. And it's one of the things that we try and share with folk as we go around, to help them see that God, through his Holy Spirit, wants to give them freedom, take away their programs, take away the things that tie them down, and let them be free in God Almighty. And if we look to him and we know the knowledge about him, then we won't be tossed about, you know, when this teaching comes in, that teaching comes in, this teaching comes in. And it's very easy to think, well, what is the truth? If we know the truth sets us free, so we're not tossed around and unsure of what is being said. Because God loves us so much and he wants us to see things his way. And he wants us to love each other, which, you know, I know we all do, but even in a greater way, he wants us to show that brotherly affection to each other, because we are his family. And just like he loves us, he wants us to love each other. And that's sometimes a big ask, because not everybody is immediately attracted to you or you to them. But it's something that we have to work through. And because, again, it's not what we can do. It's not my love. It's not my way of doing things. It's asking Jesus to work through me, asking Jesus to work through us, to help us to love each other, that we can demonstrate to the world there is something that they see in us that they want. That's how we draw people in. That's how people get brought into the kingdom, because they see in the people of God the love that's at work in God, the joy that's at work in them, the peace that's at work in them, the way they deal with things, the way they come against adversity and difficulties, and yet they're not brought down, because they know their God. They know God who loves them and who works in them. And he wants us to love each other. It says in 1 Corinthians, if we don't have love, we're nothing. Even if we can prophesy to the ends of the earth and prophesy over everybody we meet, if we don't have love, it's worthless. It doesn't count for anything. But it's, again, it's not relying on our love. It's allowing God's love to grow through us, that we might know that God has called us, God has selected us, and God has placed his divine power within us, that we might know everything that we need for life and godliness through him who saved us. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you are at work in us. Lord, we thank you that you chose us, Lord, out of the world and transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your wonderful light. We thank you, Jesus, that you have done everything for us. Everything that you did, Lord, you came to this earth, you died for us, Lord, that we might know eternal life, that we might know your love at work in us, that we might know who you are, that we might be able to walk in all your goodness, Lord, in all your grace. Everything that you've called us to do, Lord, that you are at work in us. It's not us, Lord, who have to rely upon ourselves, but we can just come to you, Lord Jesus. and say, be at work in us, show us, guide us, lead us on, Lord, that we might bring glory to you as your children. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
You see all that God has enabled Sue and I to do in Uganda. But we are just John and Sue. We're just people given a job by God to go and do stuff. And it's not laborious. It's a joy because God is with us. You know, you've been given everything for godliness, God-likeness. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. The authority that is in heaven has been given to you. You have the power of heaven living in you. You are not just natural anymore. You are supernatural. If you are supernatural, then you have superpowers. Okay? You have superpowers. Super just means above. Supernatural is above the natural. So the power that you have in the natural, you now have superpower. Because God's given it to you. That you're not doing stuff in your own strength. You're doing it in his strength. You're relying upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has put an investment into you. Now, what you do with it, your choice. You can suppress it, pretend it doesn't exist. You can shut the door on it, put it in the cupboard, never use it, slide it under the bed. But the Holy Spirit wants you to step out in faith, wants you to be a representative of heaven. Why? So that the world might see. Not you and your natural self, but what God has enabled you to do. We have a testimony. God takes us through situations. Okay, we had the problem with Sue's bike where she couldn't travel for 3 months. We had the house fire. We got through that. I then got cancer, the prostate cancer. And we were locked down with COVID in Uganda. Then we came back. We had the treatment. Cancer's gone. Praise God. Fixed the house. Sold the house. Praise God. You know, I go back to Uganda. The hernia's causing me problems. I can't work. I go and get the hernia fixed. Praise God. Why? Because we push through. We don't let things hold us back. It's so easy to roll over and cry about our situation. It's so easy to look in the natural and say, oh, not again. Oh, I'm just tired. I'm struggling. I can't push through. In your own strength, you cannot push through. You look to the Holy Spirit that is living in you. That fire that's in here, you have to kindle it. You have to stir it up. You have to do something about it. You know, so we have to encourage one another when we're feeling down. We have to build each other up. As brothers and sisters, we have to build each other up. Don't quote scriptures. That's probably the worst thing you can do with a scripture, with a Christian who's feeling down. Do not quote scripture to me. I know the word of God. It's in here. I can't handle that right now. What I need is some love, some affection, some attention to change what I'm feeling here. Because once the heart gets stirred up, then the body starts to heal. You can push through. It encourages you. It builds you up. You know, and then you want to praise. You want to worship God because he pulls us out. He drags us out of that pit, from that dark place, puts us upon a rock. Why? So that we are up here. Our problems are down there in the pit. We've left them. You know, I don't preach a gospel of abundance and prosperity. But that's where we live. We live in abundance and prosperity because we know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power that flows through us. It enables us. It equips us. It prepares us. It guides us. It teaches us. You know, read your Bible by all means, but don't read it as a book. Seek revelation from the Holy Spirit. Let the word get down inside you, not just here. It's all right knowing the scriptures. I can't quote you where the scriptures are. You know, I'm no good at that. My head doesn't work that way. I can't tell chapter and verse. What's the point of that? if you're not living the scriptures, if it's not life to you, then it's just a book. They're just words, black lines on the page. It has to be real and in your life. You have to be walking it out because that's what the kingdom is. And it's not going out there and like the Pharisees and scribes did in your posh robes and look at me, you know, I am an official in the church and I've got this position in the community. Rubbish! Who are you in the kingdom of God? You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, princes, kings and queens to be ruling in your situation and your circumstance. That is who you're called to be because that's what Jesus said you are. That's what the Bible says you are. Unless the Bible's lying, then we're just wasting our time being here today. The truth is, the word of God comes. Know the truth, it will set you free. If you are free, then you can overcome situations. You can be superhuman. You don't have to beat yourself up all the time. I'm not good enough. No, you're not. None of us are good enough. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You'll never be good enough in human measures. But God looks upon you and sees the righteousness of Jesus. He called and chose you before you were formed in the womb. He knew from the beginning of time that you would be here. And he has a purpose. We are salt and light. We have to be salt and light in the world. And we can only do that if we are out there giving testimony to the goodness of God. We can only do that if we are living in the reality of the kingdom. You know, it's not faking it. It's not dressing up. It's not putting a suit and tie on and saying, "Hey, look at me, I'm nice and posh. And look at my..." It's not about that. It's your heart. It's about your love, your compassion, the way you act with other people. And yeah, you get it wrong. I get it wrong many times. Sue will tell you. Some people, can't stand that person. Slap. Oops. Motorist. But you know what I'm talking about. None of us are perfect. We have our flaws. We have our faults. Admit it. You know, acknowledge our failings. Acknowledge when you've screwed up. God, I've messed up again. Paul did that, Romans 7. Oh, the things I should do, I don't do. And the things I shouldn't do, I do. I find myself doing this flesh. Ah! But by the grace of God. Romans 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation. Don't condemn yourself. You go to God, sorry, God, I messed up. I got it wrong again. I goofed. Get back on track. Get restored with the Father. Get linked into the Holy Spirit. Know the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life. Have an ear tuned in. And you can walk in the supernatural. Jesus was natural and supernatural together. He flowed constantly from one to the other, one to the other. Walking down the street, he sees a need, deals with the need, comes back, and carries on talking with the disciples. That's how he was. That's how we should be. You have the power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Believe it. Step out in it. Trust it. Don't trust yourself. Trust the Holy Spirit, and you will see amazing things. You're all super people. You're all super people because you are supernatural. Start living it. Start being it. Start speaking it. Start encouraging it. And start walking it out. And, you know, the stuff that you've seen that God has used us to do is not testimony to us. It's testimony to him. The schools that we've built, the sponsored children we've supported, the people we've helped get medical attention, the signs and wonders we've seen with laying hands on the sick, salvation. That's not John and Sue. That's God. And all we've done is said, here I am, Lord, send me. The same call is on your life, all of you. Wherever you are called to be disciples to the ends of the earth. Ends of the earth starts right here, right where you're sat, and anywhere God takes you. Be disciples, move in power, and be the people God has chosen you and called you to be. Amen? Amen.
Great. Thanks, guys. That was really good. When are you going back?
10th of June.
Brilliant. I just wonder, actually, could you both just come out? And I'd just like to ask you to pray for us as a church. You've been incredibly blessed by God and gifted in what you do. And our theme for this year is go. And it would be really good, I think, if you guys would pray for us as a church, that we would have that boldness and confidence to be obedient.
Yeah. I think we need to lay hands on everybody. Father God, we want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you for your loving kindness. And we want to thank you, Lord, for everyone here, Lord. Father, this family of the expression of your body, Lord, that meets here, that are joined together as CLC in Ross. And Father, we thank you for all that you have done, Lord, in each and every individual life. And Father, we just ask for the body, for the group here, Lord, Father, that you would continue to draw them close together, Lord. Father, that give them a real love for each other, Father, that supernatural love that you have deposited in each one, Lord. May that just come out, Lord, and may that just spread around. May it be something that people coming in, Lord, will just be hit by your presence of your love at work in everyone here. Lord, we thank you for knitting their hearts with our hearts, Lord. And thank you that we love them all here, Father. And we thank you for all that you've done so far. And Father, in this year of go, Father, we pray for a greater understanding of how that affects each one here, Lord. How it affects CLC Ross. How it affects each individual member, Lord. Is it go to your neighbor next door, Lord? Is it go to your family? Is it go to the place where you work? Is it go to another nation? Lord, whatever it is that you have got for each one here, Father, I pray that there will be such a sense of oneness, such a sense of unity here amongst the people, amongst the body here, Father, that there will be a delight when somebody says, God has said this to me. Father, that scripture that we saw on the video in John, in Romans, Lord, Romans 10, where it says that how will they hear unless somebody speaks it, and how will they speak it unless somebody preaches it, and how will they preach unless they're sent? Lord, that was the verse you gave me that enabled me to go to Uganda and do what I'm doing, Lord, because you gave me a word of go. And Father, we just ask that for each one here, Lord, their individual word for go, that you will give them. And as a body, Lord, you will show them as a group what their go is, Lord, their go into Tudorville, how to reach out again, Lord, into Tudorville and see people's lives changed and see many come into your kingdom, Lord. Father, we lift up this place of Tudorville to you, Lord. Father, we know it's on your heart. We've known for so many years, Lord, how you love the people in Tudorville. And Father, I just pray that you will direct CLC Ross, Lord, as to how they can be effective in going into Tudorville, Lord. And Father, I just pray a blessing on everyone, Lord, a blessing on this place. Father, I pray that your love will abound amongst these people, Lord. Your grace and your love, your joy and your peace, Lord. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for these people. Thank you for the love that you've placed within them. Thank you for the love they have for us, Lord, and the love that we have for them. Father, continue to work in them, Lord, and bring more fruit, Lord. Bring more fruit, Lord, from their labors, Father, that your name may be glorified in this place. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just ask for a fresh impartation, a release in the heavenly realms, a release of the power of the Holy Spirit in this place, a release of revelation, a release of discernment, a release of the prophetic, a release of words of knowledge, a release of understanding of your word and your scriptures, a release of the power of the Holy Spirit and revelation of the Holy Spirit, a release of your kingdom values in this place. Father, let your anointing flow fresh in this place. Let it fall upon your saints. Let it come down like gold dust upon them. Let it shower them with blessings that they may go out from this place and shower others with the blessings that you have given to them. Father, you're just amazing. You're just so loving, so kind, so caring that you want to see your children blessed beyond measure. You want to see them moving in the fullness of their potential that you have instilled within them. So, Father, give them understanding. Open the eyes of their hearts. Open the ears of the Spirit that they might hear and do what they are called to do. Amen.